The Beautiful Game, a podcast from the Compass Network.
Hello and welcome to The Beautiful Game, a podcast series brought to you by thecompassnet.com. I'm Kyle West and this week I'm joined by Dan Taylor and Pete Gaskell.
Game of the Week.
Right guys, let's talk about the Man City against Arsenal game. Pete, biggest game of the season so far?
One of them. I'd say one of them, definitely. But two sides definitely fighting it out for the title. City on the rise and Arsenal having to fight them off, aren't they? So, massive game.
Dan, obviously it's been a couple of away wins on the bounce for Man City now. Have they turned the corner on the road?
I think so. They definitely look a lot more in control now, and they seem to have it together a little bit more. I don't know whether that's just because some of those new introductions have had a little bit of time to kind of gel with the rest of the squad, whereas obviously when they're at the Etihad, you know, they've got the fans behind them and stuff, so it helps them gear them on, which, you know, isn't always the case on the road. So maybe it's a bit more difficult to not necessarily motivate themselves, but to keep themselves going. But they actually seem to be playing a full 90 minutes now as well, rather than kind of dropping off after the first half. So we're definitely seeing a difference, and I think this is probably the Man City we're going to see now for the rest of the season.
You mentioned then what they're like at the Etihad, Dan. Why are they so ruthless at home? So when they were losing away, why were they putting 7 goals past people at the Etihad?
I don't think Pellegrini helped. You know, he was rotating quite a lot. We talked about it from a fantasy football side of things. You never know who's going to start and who isn't. But that seems to have settled down a little bit, particularly at the back now. You know, other than you know, resting players for fitness reasons or for injuries. And, you know, I know Kompany obviously hasn't had the easiest time of it this season, but that does seem to have settled down a bit. And, you know, particularly Zabaleta has been fantastic this season, as always.
Should Arsenal be happy with the point against Everton even, or was it a missed opportunity for them?
In some ways it was a missed opportunity because there's a chance to pull clear again, but Everton have really ground out a lot of great results this season, haven't they? So I suppose on balance, it was 2 points dropped, but they'd have been happy to get a point rather than none.
Where's this game going to be won and lost?
good question. the Etihad?
Dan is well prepared for today's show.
It's really whether Arsenal can keep strong at the back. You know, we've always questioned really about their defensive frailties. They haven't really been that bad. However, they're up against the Man City side, as we said, they don't score at least 4 or 5 goals at the Etihad. It's a disappointment. So, yeah, they've got to stay strong at the back. But that's also kind of been Man City's weak point this year. They've kind of got beaten on the counter-attack at times. So they've, you know, both defences have got to be at the top of their game.
Who needs to win this game, Morphy?
I'd say Arsenal, because this is a chance. If they win it, then I'd say we are, you know, definite title contenders. Yeah, we can beat anyone. If City win it, then obviously it's closed right up. Then Arsenal will only just be top by a couple of points, potentially.
Chelsea,
so.
Chelsea next after that. Then.
It's crucial for Arsenal. Well, for City, it's not quite as massive a game.
Yeah, I think this is one of the game. This is probably the game where now we're looking at actually, can we genuinely look at Arsenal as title contenders? If they lose this game, we can probably say, yeah, you know, by May they won't be top. You know, whereas if Man City lose the game, then they'll just see it as, you know, okay, we've lost 3 points, but let's pick ourselves up again and carry on where we left off.
I suppose actually, if that did happen down, Arsenal didn't win the league and all that, I don't think they'd be too disappointed though. I don't think when they signed Ozil, I don't think that was the sign in which they thought was going to win in the league. I think that was like the first sign in, I think, what is probably like a 3-year mission for Arsenal now. I can't imagine that they weren't. I don't think they were looking to win the league until for another 2 years. So it's not the end of the world, is it? Let's get the score predictions then, guys. Pete, what do you see the score being for this game?
High scoring 2-2 draw.
I've also gone 2-2 actually.
And so have I.
Goal of the week.
Mine came at the weekend. Personally, Southampton were battling really hard, and that Osvaldo goal was pretty brilliant and kind of showed exactly why they paid 15 million for him. And hopefully this is a sign of things to come for him.
For the midweek games, it's Suarez's first against his many against Norwich, which is worth flying.
I'll agree with you on that one, because that's probably my goal of the week, actually. A lot of people have said his third goal was their favourite, where he dinks it over, almost a bit Gazza-esque, but I think his first goal was just...
It's just
he couldn't do that again if he tried.
There's not that many strikers in the world who can do that.
Team of the week.
What team most impressed you last weekend then?
I'd say Southampton. I know we have a bit of a love in for Southampton on this podcast, but to not just hold City, but to outplay them for periods of the game, that was a fantastic performance on them, really. I was surprised if we managed to contain, without a couple of players, without Bollock, etc., contain and control against City is quite an achievement for Southampton.
I would probably agree. I think Southampton did very well, but it's difficult because Arsenal did really well, Liverpool did really well as well. But is that just Suarez being Suarez? Pick a side. Actually, no. Take that aside. Cut that out. Edit.
You know, by saying that, I will not remove it from the podcast. I've done it to you before.
yeah. Now, I've had a chance to reflect. Everton, actually, getting a point at the Emirates. And then, obviously, the win at Man United, you know, put them on top for me. You know, it really showed how far they've come, I think, this season under Martinez to be able to go to those, you know, big sides, you know, Old Trafford and the Emirates. They're probably two of the hardest places to go for most teams, and to overcome Man United and to, you know, get a point near the end of the game against Arsenal, you know, was impressive, I think.
Fantasy football.
Because of the two rounds of games, it's completely turned on its head almost. Still top is Steven Turner. Who's on 888 points. In second, we've got Tom Howe, who's on 860. So there's only 28 points between them. And JT Vaughan is on the same amount of points in third place. Dan, you're in fourth.
Mm-hmm.
You're on 838. So you're thereabouts, 50 points off. It's catchable. And we can jump down to Pete. Almost has one of the worst gaming rounds from everyone in that.
It's a disaster.
29 points Pete got on the weekend.
Wasn't the worst of a weekend.
No, but
no, Carl really dropped that week because of that when he got long for the weekend.
That's incredible, isn't it, Carl? Yeah, he's down to sixth. The guy was looking untouchable at one point, and he's now almost 100 points off top spot. The big news, guys, two pieces of the big news, is that I've climbed to eighth from, was it 12th I was constantly?
Yeah. And you're now on top of your wife.
I'm now finally on top of my wife. About time. Doesn't that very often?
Aren't we happy about that?
Yeah, exactly.
She had a dire week, didn't she?
she had 25 points. After the Saturday, she had 9 points. And she was like, how many points have you got, babe? And I was like, why? She goes, I've only got 9. And I was like, all right. I was like, right, let me check. I'm sure I've probably got crap score as well, and I was on like 55.
You have a score of a week, Kyle. Just looking at it.
I know, yeah. 74 points, top of the week. I almost had you, Pete. I think it was the most points went on players. I would have possibly topped you otherwise.
You are underneath me, but there you go.
Yeah, only by 5 points, mate. Pete, I'm going to climb on top of you this weekend.
I look forward to it.
And you'll be looking up at me.
And I'll still stand at the top.
Cocky, mate.
Speed predictions.
Dan, we'll start with you.
Yep.
Same as yours. Cardiff against West Brom.
1-0 West Brom.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Chelsea against Palace.
Chelsea 3, Palace 1.
Everton against Fulham.
Everton 2-0.
Newcastle against Southampton.
1-1 draw.
Lots of faith in your team there, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
West Ham Sunderland. That's West Ham United, by the way.
After the defeat against Liverpool, I'm actually going to go for West Ham 0, Sunderland 1.
Hull against Stoke.
Stoke seem to be doing pretty well, so 2-1 Stoke.
Villa against Man United.
I don't think Man United could go 3 defeats on the trot, so 2-1 Man United.
Norwich against Swansea.
Norwich 2, Swansea 3.
Bloody hell. Pete, hit me.
Yes.
And then give me predictions. Cardiff against West Brom.
0-0.
I hope not, because I'm going to that game. If it's 0-0, I'm going to
hold out
my
dire
mind.
For you.
I hope not, because it's 50 quid for a ticket. So. Chelsea against Palace.
3-0 Chelsea.
Everton against Fulham.
2-0 Everton.
Newcastle against Southampton.
2-1 Newcastle.
West Ham against Sunderland.
0-0.
Hull against Stoke.
1-1.
Villa against Man United.
2-1 United.
Norwich against Swansea.
2-0 Swansea.
I've gone 1-0 for Cardiff against West Brom, but fingers crossed it's 2-0. Chelsea against Palace have gone 3-1, same as Dan. Gone 2-0 to Everton against Fulham, same as everyone else. I'm predicting 2-1 Newcastle, a win over Southampton. 0-0, as like Pete, between West Ham and Sunderland. 1-0 Hull against Stoke. I'm predicting that Man United will get back on to winning ways. 1-0 against Villa. And Norwich 2, Swansea 1.
So, am I the only one that's actually gone for a draw in the Newcastle game?
You are, yeah. The diehard Newcastle fan.
I'm just playing it safe. I'm thinking about my prediction league. Here's your bonus point for this week. What side do you think will score the first goal in the second half?
Oh, Jesus.
Just what team, not what player.
I was trying to think now which ones I said were 0-0, so I completely contradict myself.
Was it what side do I think will score the first
goal of the second half?
I could tell you what game it's going to be in. Man City.
Okay, Pete?
Villa.
Really?
Against you? Yeah. Yes.
What score predictions did you do for that game?
2-1.
So same as me, yeah.
All right, Dan?
I'm going to go for Swansea.
Fucking, that's going to be tense.
After half time, we'll all be tuning in at like 4 o'clock. Like, come on.
I just realised, mine and yours done on a Sunday.
So we got to wait even longer to find out.
I've gone for the first game. So I need to bite my fingernails down with the other nine.
Other top games.
Talk about the last sort of big game of the weekend. And in the Premier League, they're all big games. But there's one particularly big one. It's Tottenham against Liverpool. And, Pete, it's all gone a little wrong for Liverpool. They've not only lost Sturridge now, but Steven Gerrard's out for 6 weeks. Are they going to be able to cope without both those players?
And Jordan Henderson's out for a while too. So I still have Lucas and Joe Allen in the centre of the park. But not ideal. Well, as we said about Arsenal, it's the same for Liverpool since they test their mettle now. Because Chelsea and City are right up behind them, so it's up to Liverpool to maintain their lead, isn't it? If they can beat Tottenham away from home without Sturridge, without Gerrard, it's their chance to say, you know, we're still in this. We're missing the long haul.
I think if they didn't have Suarez, you'd be saying they're in trouble, wouldn't you? But he's that good.
They've got one superstar still winning, haven't they? So.
I think if you take Suarez out of the equation, then yeah, you'd be going, well, there's no way they're going to keep it up. But I actually don't think, well, Sturridge has been missing the last two games last week, wasn't he? So clearly made no difference at all. And I don't think Gerrard was that good in the last game, particularly.
He'll be stoned by a horde of angry scousers.
Oh, he's a great, don't get me wrong, he's a great player and he was good midweek. But but in the West Ham game, we didn't really cover it. And I guess we will in a minute, but it was just a messy game, wasn't it, really? There was no skill involved other than Suarez. And even then, it was a bit of a fluke, his goal.
Tottenham have taken 7 points from a possible 9 since their 6-0 defeat to Man City. Dan, can we safely say they're back on track? More importantly, I suppose, are they impressing you?
I'd be worried about saying they're back on track. I think it's their players are starting to find their feet now. And now it's got to be about AVB actually making a decision, sticking with it, rather than coming up against Liverpool and totally changing the side again. And let's not also forget that their game last weekend was against Sunderland, so they're not exactly difficult oppositions to overcome. And I still think their issue is goals, because one of those goals against Sunderland came from an own goal. So, yeah, I still think they're going to struggle in front of goal. And against a Liverpool side who don't have that trouble, you know, I think they're still going to find it difficult, particularly this weekend.
The real irony with Tottenham for me right now is that, you know, Soldado wasn't scoring goals because there was no service coming into the box for him. And we've spoken a lot about how he does his best in his career. He's done his best work inside the box. But as soon as he's been dropped, I mean, going off the Sunderland game, as soon as he's been dropped, Tottenham started working the ball into the box. Is he not going to be a bit upset about that?
Yes, it's a bit sort of-ish, isn't it? I don't know whether that's just because they've suddenly realised having to develop a game to try and score, but also, don't forget, the last couple of games we've been playing have been against, you know, Sunderland, etc. They've probably given more opportunity to do that rather than some of the higher-up teams. Fulham and Sunderland are the two weakest sides in the Premiership, I'd say, at the minute.
Liverpool are struggling for a little consistency away from home. You know, they're killing teams at home. But the less convincing away is very Man City-ish, actually, isn't it? What do they need to do to sort of correct that for them?
for all the defenders they seem to have at their disposal at the moment, they don't seem very secure at the back. You know, I go back to that West Ham game again. It was really scrappy, and they could have conceded another couple against a West Ham side who haven't got a striker. they looked a bit all over the place, really. And you know, despite the fact that I think Mignolet is a great keeper, he even looked a bit shaky in the last game. I don't know about the game before, but yeah, I think that's where they need to really batten down the hatches. Because obviously going forward, they've got no problems at the moment.
Can both these teams make the Champions League, Dan? And if not, you know, which team would miss out, in your opinion?
Right now, Spurs, I think at the start of the season, I'd like to have seen them there. But right now, they don't look like they deserve to be. They've certainly been on the back foot the whole season, and I think they've still got a little way to go before they're even ready to compete on the European stage. And Liverpool, they're that club that just they love the Champions League. They've got an affinity with it, and they always do well. And you know, you never know, if they keep hold of Suarez, you know, they could potentially win it next year, the Champions League, if they're to get that far.
It's time to have Liverpool back in the Champions League, isn't it? Pains me to say it, but it's,
I know, it's, I hate time, it, I really
it
do.
It is time to have them back in there, because they are like, they're synonymous with the Champions League. You know,
they're one of the legends.
I always think of, like, when I think of the Champions League, I think of, you know, Liverpool, Man United, Barcelona, you know, maybe even Bayern Munich creep into that.
Real Madrid as well.
Yeah, you know, there's a couple of teams, and I think it's time for Liverpool. It's been a number of years, isn't it, since they were in there. So, predictions for that game then, gentlemen?
2-0 Liverpool.
I've gone 4, exactly the same.
I've given Tottenham slightly more confidence on my end. 1-1. Right, that's about it for us this week. You can listen to previous episodes of The Beautiful Game on iTunes by searching for The Beautiful Game. And you can follow us on Twitter at soccerpod_podcast. Don't forget to follow the Compass Network, our wonderful hosts, at compassnet_net. So thank you for listening. Check out our other episodes, and we'll be back with you next week. Bye for now.
The Beautiful Game, a podcast from the Compass Network.